turn your Bibles to Acts chapter number 19. Acts chapter number 19. Acts chapter 19, and I want you to find verse number 9. Acts chapter 19, you find verse number 9. Acts chapter 19, verse number 9. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17. By the way, Matt, I'm glad to see you this morning. Thanks for being here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible says this, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, for and I will receive you." Now, in Acts chapter 9, I want us to start at verse number 9. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently. The Bible says this, "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." And let's pray. Father, bless the sermon today. Lord, this is not just a sermon to take up 40 minutes of our life. This is a sermon that I think is key for the future of our church. Somebody here needs to decide to do whatever it takes to separate from the world so they can be used. I wish God today that somehow you would have someone say, I just want to be used. I will therefore separate so I can be used in a greater way for Jesus. Holy Spirit of God, control the sermon, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. Separation. I realize it's not a topic that's spoken on a lot, but folks, we need to face it. The topic of separation is in the Bible. You say, what is separation? Well, that there are some things that we should stay away from or that we should get away from because they hinder us in our Christianity. What does separation accomplish? What does separation accomplish for God? You ever ask yourself that? What does separation accomplish for me as an individual? What does separation accomplish for others? And folks, I don't think it's a new concept. I think just about anybody here knows that the church has stood for something different than the world all along the way. Really, almost doesn't matter what church. And there's some pretty nasty ones out there if you ask me, but they all stand for something different than the world. But there is a difference between the church and the world and Christians and non-Christians. And a big piece of that is our separation from the things that the world does or the things that God would have us to be separated from. Well, what does separation accomplish for saved people? And what does separation accomplish for the church? What does separation accomplish for even younger Christians? What does separation accomplish in regard to our ability to serve God? If you'll listen to me for a few minutes today, I'm going to give you what I think is a great reason for you to separate. There are many people in here. Do you know something? Everybody in here is separated. I'm sure of that. You're separated to some degree. The question is, are you willing to step up? I would guess that if we are separated, if separation were on a scale of 1 to 10 and you were a 3, I would hope you'd step up to be a 4. If you're separated at level 7, I wish you'd step up to level 5. Step up to level 8. That almost sounded like government talk, didn't it? But I think we ought to grow in our separation. In Acts chapter 19... there's something's happening here. What we just read, Paul had met someone and had been around some people, and these someones had hardened their heart toward the things of God. They had, if you heard what it said in Acts 19:9, it says, "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way." When it's talking about that way, it's talking about people that were walking in the way of God. It's talking about, and it even talks about that they were speaking evil of that way. And it says they did it before the multitude. Paul said, these people have become hard. They're rejecting the things of God. And they're just speaking out and they're rejecting the things of God. And Paul said, I need to separate. And the Bible says not only did Paul pull himself away from those things, he leads the other sincere disciples to do the same thing. And so you all know, one of the things about this subject of separation, separation is not just leaving something bad, it's leaving something bad to go to something good. Well, that's great. That's a good idea. Don't you think we ought to leave the bad thing and go to the good thing? Shouldn't we leave the negative to go to the positive? If you say, well, I don't like separation, so you don't like leaving that which is less for God to go to that which is more for God? That's not unreasonable of God. So separation is from something to something. Separation is from worldliness to holiness. Listen. If a so-called Christian organization does not hold true to the Bible and the truths of the Bible, the principles, the methodology of the Bible, then I'll separate from it. I'm not going to try to change them. I'm going to separate me so I'm not like them. And that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says this in Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This is something personal. God said, now, you should not be walking with people that give you bad counsel, and you should not be standing around fellowshipping with sinners, and you shouldn't be comfortably seated in the presence of scorners. And folks, personal separation is taught all the way through the Bible. And you say, but Pastor, it's not a popular subject in our day and age. Well, there are a lot of things that are not popular subjects in our day and age, but they're still in the Bible. And the fact that even Christianity has phased some things out doesn't mean God phased them out. And we have watched our nation deteriorate, and we've left some wonderful things to go to some things that are not so good. God wants us to go to the bad things and go to those things that are so good. And that's what separation is. I think that we are to separate ultimately, for God. I'll give you some other reasons why we should separate today, but for God. Paul, in this passage of Scripture, separated for himself, but he needed to separate. And then Paul also helped some other people to separate because they needed to separate. If you ever, and let me explain, if you ever know there's something that is in your life and you ought to separate from it, I hear people say this, well, I don't want to. I don't want to separate from that. Can I tell you, there's something bigger than what you want to do at stake. I don't want to. Have you ever considered that if you would separate from something from which you should separate, that it would be good for others? Weak Christians won't separate because they don't want to. Strong people separate even if they don't want to. Say why? It's good for somebody else. I'm going to tell you something about me. I separated for the sake of my kids. I separated for the sake of my family. I separated for the sake of my grandkids. It's not always come easy. I've not walked into everything from which I've ever separated saying, I'm just as happy as I can be about this. But I needed to do it because if I did it, I could influence somebody else. And it's not all about what turns me on. It's not all about what makes me happy. It's not all about what do I want. It's not all about my flesh and me and how does it make me feel. I'll tell you something. I separate for the sake of a church that needs somebody to still teach on separation. You wouldn't understand this. I separated a long time ago for you. Because I wanted to help somebody other than me. And if I didn't even like it, I still separated from some things because it was good for everybody else. I think a lot of people are just so self-centered. It's all about them. and how they feel, and if they like it, and if they want it, if it's all about themselves. You know, I'll tell you this, our church could do a miraculous thing in the next 24 months, but one of the reasons we won't get it done is because I'll have people that will rebel against separation issues because they don't like it. Too much change for their life. How about you do it because there are people that need you to do it? There's a church that needs you to do it. Stay with me now. I've got a lot of territory to cover, and I've got to do it in the next 2 hours. No. I'm going to hurry. Let me say this. Number one, separation, folks. I'm going to tell you some reasons why we ought to separate. Number one, separation tells others who you are. Separation tells others who you are. In Acts chapter 19, verse number 9, the verse that we just read, it says, "And separated the disciples." Paul did not want those who were true disciples of Jesus Christ to lose track of who they were. In other words, Paul and these disciples were with some people, but those people had become hardened toward the things of God, and those people were actually speaking out and rebelling. And Paul said, we got to get away from those people. We don't want to be associated with that. You see, Paul knew that separation would let others know who Paul was, and it would let others know who the disciples were that were with Paul. You see, they were people, if you listen to the verse there, they were people of the way. You say, what way? God's way. What way? The Bible way. What way? And so you all know, some of you don't really understand this term, the old time way. I am old time religion. You say, oh, I ended up in the wrong place. You may have. But I didn't. I know what I am. I know that for which I stand. And I know from where I came. I'm old time religion. And that's the way. And Paul said people of the way are going to be deluded if they stay around that liberal, nasty stuff. And Paul said, we got to get out of this. You see, you need people to know who you are. Folks, I don't think it's a shock to most of you. For some of you, old-time Baptists have always had an established identity. And separation kind of just tells people who you are. Can people tell who you are? Do people know what you are? You know, they're going to know who you are by what you are, or what you are by who you are. But listen, I think true Christians are recognizable by the way they act, the way they talk. Listen, the way we dress, all of that affects who we are. There's an identity. And people, I don't understand why people can be so blind to the concept of, okay, did you know that you can tell who is on a particular ball team? Right? I mean, did you watch the Super Bowl? If you did, there were two teams. It was obvious who was on what team. Is that right? Are you mad about that? Does it make you mad that you could differentiate between one team and the other? When you go out into the community, do you know who the policemen are? When you go in, hey, when you go to McDonald's, do you know who the employees are? How? It is obvious who they are. I've got a hunch that if you went into McDonald's to work and you said, you're not going to make me look like that, act like that. You're not going to tell me how to behave. I'm going to guess you wouldn't work at McDonald's. Jay, I really don't know the answer to this. Do postmen wear uniforms?
Cityside does, of course, but not the rural carriers.
Okay. The rural carriers dress like pigs. We know. We. Okay, you know, when you... Hey, I live here in the city of New Bern, and the guy that delivers my mail, he's a postman. See, folks, separation tells others who you are in the Christian life. And we're good with it everywhere. We are very good with separation at McDonald's, and we're very good with separation for the fire department, and we're very good that the New England Patriots practiced separation and were very good with separation for the fire department and were very good for separation at Wendy's. I'll get you in there, Jim. And were very good for separation in all those places. And then you dare talk about separation for the church and you're ridiculous for doing so. I submit unto you, it's not ridiculous. It is not ridiculous. It is not outrageous. We accept it in every part of society. Hey, listen, did you know that when you go to the hospital, you can pretty well tell who the nurses are? When someone goes into surgery, you know who the doctors are. Say, who are they? The one with the great big diamond rings on their finger. Folks, separation tell others who you are. So you know, I'm not ashamed of who I am. I am not ashamed of it. And some of you, I'm going to tell you what's going to keep you from separating. You're ashamed to be associated with the old time religion. You're afraid somebody's going to look at you and say, where'd you come from? Little House on the Prairie? I'll guarantee it. You'll have your tail between your legs running about certain separation issues because you're afraid of the world and you're afraid to associate with what you are. But, and I really started out, and this is going to be a real nice sermon. What in the world happened? Number two, separation helps our soul winning and will keep others out of hell. Separation helps our soul winning, and it will keep others out of hell. In Acts chapter 19, verse number 10, that's the same passage of Scripture about Paul and these disciples separating. It says, after they separated, it says, and all they which dwelt in Asia heard. You know what happened? Paul and this group of disciples pulled away from some things they needed to separate from, and the next thing you know, all of Asia started hearing about Paul and these disciples and what they believed. You see, I happen to believe that separation gives confidence to soul winners. I think separation helps them to understand that they have God's favor, and that's why there's a confidence there. I think they're good representatives for God, and so soul winner, you say, well, what's a soul winner? That's somebody that goes out, takes their Bible, shows somebody how to be born again, helps that person to pray and ask Jesus Christ into their heart and save them. That's what a soul winner is. Let me tell you something. When you look and act like the world, surprisingly then talking like the church, the world says, whoa, wait a minute. You look like the world, you act like the world, you behave like the world, but you want to talk about Jesus? Can I tell y'all something? The world looks at you and says, well, something not right about that. They know. They know that when you were cussing a moment ago, and now you want to talk about Jesus, they're not stupid. They're going, this must be a joke to them. Did you know this? There's a story in the Bible, a man by the name of Lot. Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot had lived there, and Lot went along with whatever was going on basically in the city. And God said, I'm going to destroy that city. And here's what happened. Lot had lived in that city. He became like that city. He talked like that city. He dressed like that city. He behaved like that city. And then God said, I'm going to destroy that city because it's a wicked city. And God said, you better, Lot, you better get your kids out of there. And Lot went to his sons-in-laws and said, we got to get out of Dodge. God's going to destroy this place. And you know what his sons-in-laws said? When you get religion, you're just like us. The Bible says in Genesis 19, verse number 4, it says, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. Folks, when you don't separate, the world virtually sees a mockery in you trying to represent God without being like the way God wants you to be like. I'll tell you this, and the point here is separation helps our soul winning and keeps others out of hell. The best soul winners I know are the ones that have separated from the world. I think there are people in here, you ought to separate from things in the world because you could keep somebody else out of hell. And I think separation, the lack of separation, will keep you from doing it. You know, I would do this. Some of you know some of our stances on separation. Some of you don't. But I would tell you this. If you said, well, Pastor, I just disagree with you about that point of separation, and I disagree with you about that point of separation. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time you won someone to Jesus Christ, brought them to church, got them down the aisle, and got them baptized? Why aren't you a better soul winner? I can tell you all sorts of separated people that get people saved and get people into church. It's pretty rare you'll find somebody that doesn't separate, that has the confidence, courage, and the power to win other people to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. If you ever get mad at this pastor and you get mad at this church because we believe in separation from the world, and you take yourself up the road and you find you another church, I want you to check on something. When you're sitting in those pews, I want you to see how often people walk the aisle receiving Christ as Savior. Then, I want you to tell me about how many of their people go out soul winning. Then, I want to see if you start doing it. Most people that leave a church that's separated, they'll go somewhere and the productivity of keeping people out of hell drops almost to nothing. Because separation builds a confidence and a testimony that adds a productivity to keeping people out of hell. I'm just sure of that. The Bible said when Paul and these people separated, all of Asia heard about it. You see, separation tells others who you are. Separation then helps you to have the confidence and the testimony that's necessary to become a productive soul winner. And again, I'll just tell you, if I had everybody in this room, and you listen, and I'm not trying to hurt you, I would like some of you, I'd like to move you more than just tingling your ears for a moment. I wish somebody here would get under conviction and change your life. But I'll promise you, if I had everybody in here stand right now, would you all agree this issue of heaven and hell is a pretty big deal? I mean, people going to heaven's a big deal. And we're all supposed to be witnesses. Can I get a witness? Everybody here believe? Should we not all be witnesses? But I'm going to tell you something. I will guarantee you right this second, if I were to have everybody in this room stand that has won someone to Jesus Christ in the last 2 weeks, you would find that it would be separated people that's doing the soul winning. Bet you a nickel. You want to do it? And that's because separation brings a confidence. Separation brings a testimony that is necessary for the power of God to keep people out of hell. That's why Paul separated from those people and he pulled some disciples away from them. And the next thing you know, they were influencing all of Asia. All of Asia. Thirdly, separation, I believe, is a prerequisite for miracle-working power where you can help other people. In Acts chapter 9, verse number 11, the Bible says this. And remember, this is the same passage we were using a moment ago. It says, and God wrought special miracles by the hand of God. That's in the story we just read. Remember, Paul and some of the sincere disciples were around some people that were doing wrong and they were hardened and they were telling everybody that they disagreed with right. And Paul said, we're pulling away from this. We don't want to be around that. Then the Bible says in verse number 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. What had they just done? Separated. I think God rewards those who will separate from the world. Hey, don't expect God to do big miracles for you when you won't separate from the world for Him. So you all know, God's not a credit card. He's not a credit card. God saved you, and He did it willingly. But I have to tell you, there are some prerequisites. If you want some bigger things from God, I think God deserves some bigger things from you. Paul and these disciples separated from the wrong religious crowd, and the next thing you know, God is working miracles for them. You know, I think there's somebody under the sound of my voice right now. You need a miracle from God. Could I recommend that you check up on your separation from the world? You say, why is it I'm not getting what I need? I need this from God. Why don't you check up on your separation from the world? Why don't you give up some things that ought not be in your life and then turn around and ask God for the miracle? See, you would really like it if God would just give you anything you want, anytime you want, for any reason that you want. But there are prerequisites. A great miracle came to these people. The Bible says, if you heard the scripture, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. What had Paul just done? Paul just separated. By the way, Paul not only separated, he influenced some other people to practice separation. I think some of you want to sincerely help someone you love. If you sincerely want to help someone you love, I would check up on the separation issues of your life. And I think you, if you want something extra from God, it wouldn't hurt you to give God something a little extra. You may not believe this, but I happen to believe God has special blessings for people who sanctify themselves. The word sanctify means set apart. Don't let that big word sanctify scare you. There's people in here, you really need something special from God. Well, God really wants something from you. And that is not unreasonable. See, what is it? In some of your cases, it's separation. It's separation. God wants you to leave some things for the sake of others. He wants you to go ahead and sign up to be a part of the team and recognizable. He wants you to start being concerned about the souls of people and make that more important to you than even your popularity among your peers. And God can give you power. Let me go on. Separation produces the influence to change the lives of others. Separation produces the influence necessary to change the lives of others. In Acts chapter 19, the very same chapter that we were talking about, verse number 12, it says this about Paul and them. And the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Do you know there's somebody's life that's being changed right there? Look, did you know that if somebody had a disease, and then the disease left them, that's real good for them. That's the way you want it, right? If somebody had an evil spirit and that evil spirit departed, boy, that's what we want. Now, what had Paul just done prior to those life-changing influence? He separated. Folks, you won't get power from the world to change the world. You'll get power from God to change the world. And power from God does not come from being like the world. Power from God comes from being like God. If you say, I would like to change lives, you will not change lives by the philosophy of the world. You'll change lives through the power of Almighty God. And part of that is separation. What happened here is these people were diseased. There were evil spirits. Paul said, we're going to pull away from that mess. And all of a sudden, God said, Paul, I can use you to help people and change lives. Separation is a sign of a changed life, just so you know. The more you separate, the more you are being changed in life and for God. You say, I don't believe that. There are some of you that are going to make a tremendous transformation before you go to heaven. You are changing before you get there. Why? You're going to separate from things that are going to be left behind. What would happen if you just go ahead and separate from some of those things now? There's some things you say, oh, I just disagree with it. You're changing one way or another. Your day's coming. Because when you get to heaven, it's a perfect place. Perfectly, 100% separated place. And so you know, it has walls. See, separation is a sign of growth in the Lord. People who separate from worldly things are the ones who help others to change their lives. Do you want to influence others to change their lives? You know, it is very hard to get someone to change their life for the good when you won't change your life for the good. Usually, someone that is smoking pot will not convince somebody else not to smoke pot. And that's so in so many parts of life. Notice the people in our church who are changing lives for God are the ones who have previously separated, so they're now used to change lives for God. Here, let me put it this way. There's a bunch of people in here. If you looked at the people in our church that tend to help you the most, they're the separated ones. They're the separated ones. So they separated and now they're able to help others. But until you separate, you really don't qualify to help someone to change because you haven't changed. You say, well, what's the process? Well, in some cases, just say, I'm going to stop this. I'm changing. Separation makes you a good role model. I think there are people in here, you ought to separate for your children's sake. I think you ought to separate for your family's sake. I think there are husbands that ought to separate for their wives' sake, and wives that ought to separate for their husband's sake, and I think there are grandparents that ought to separate for the sake of so many different things. And I just tell you, I believe that separation is still taught in the Bible. Separation tells others who you are. Separation helps your soul winning and makes you more productive. Separation is a prerequisite for miracles. I think separation produces the ability of the separated to help others become separated and change their lives. For just a moment, I want to say this. I wish somebody in here would decide to separate for the sake of lost people. I wish you'd separate so that you could win others to Christ. I'll tell you something. Once you separate, some of you that don't do much soul winning and you don't witness and you don't really ever see anybody saved, there's something that holds you back. I wonder what it is. Separation builds a confidence, and it's something that's very necessary, really, to get people saved. So, separate for the sake of others. Separate for the lost. I wish some of you would decide to separate for the church's sake. I'm going to promise you, we have available to us right now, I think as far as our church's spirit, I even think with our facility, I know we don't have a lot of parking, but we have some empty rooms where we could be reaching more people. And the only thing that will keep our church from going to the next level where I think God wants us to go is there will be people that will not separate. They will not clean up their lives to the point where they would be usable as role models and influence others. Look, you can't turn a class of Sunday school kids over to somebody that doesn't want to live right. So and I know there are some churches where you can go and you can be the, hey, you may have came from some church where you were the big dog and you partied on Saturday night and you acted like the world and behaved like the world, but you can't do that here. We're not playing church here. Church is not just Sunday morning here. It's Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And it's not just the church's reputation I'm concerned about. It's God's reputation that I'm concerned about. And so I really want to go to the next level. But I will tell you this. I will not do away with our standards and separation to get there. I will not. So you say, what are you doing? I'm trying to get some people to step up and say, you know what? I'll change so I can be used for the sake of the church. God wants to bless His church. Hey, some of you need to change for the sake of your kids. I think the kids that live in your house. I think even you need to change for the sake of your kids that don't live in your house. They need to see someone that believes the old-time religion. Again, change for your husband's sake. Change for your wife's sake. I'll tell you this also. The other day, I got a text from a 75-year-old preacher. He travels the country. And he was very kind. And he just said, Brother Owens, I just spent a long season of prayer for you. He said, I thank God you have not dipped your sails over all these years. He said, I am watching preachers become cowardly and they no longer stand for that which they once stood because it's what the weak stance is now popular in America. He said, thank you. Let me tell you something. There's some of you, I wish you would step up and separate in your life for the sake of the old-time religion. If we're not careful, it'll become extinct. But it's still in the Bible. Again, separate for your grandkids. Separate for your family. Hey, I think it'd be a good idea for some of you to separate because of the critics. Well, hey, those that criticize the old-time religion, And there's some, I really wish you would listen to the sermons that I preached on Wednesday night. Some people say that because we believe in separation from the world that we're legalists. Now, that's not true. Legalism means that you think you're saved by way of the law. We don't believe you're saved by way of the law or keeping the law. You're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Legalism thrown at a church like ours is there to criticize us because we still believe in the sanctification of the believer. And we still believe that you ought to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. We still believe the old time way. And they can throw all the rocks that they want to at us, but it's not going to change the truth. I think somebody in here, you need to separate for the sake of the old time religion. Help us keep it alive. Separate for the critic's sake. You know, I think you ought to separate for the sake of some new Christians. Do you know that there are some new Christians that need to see some Christians that are a little further along do some separating so they can watch you grow? It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing how influential we really are. Somebody needs to help lead the way. Somebody needs to help somebody else get the courage to do what's right. You know, you can separate so that the younger Christians step up and separate. I think we even ought to step up and separate for the sake of those that are already separated. There's nothing like having someone step up and say, you know what, I want to join that mighty, mighty army of separated people in Christianity. It's encouraging to me. I'll tell you what, Brother Edwards, anytime I find some preacher out there that's decided he's not going to dip his sails and go the way of the world and soften everything up and do away with standards and convictions all of his preaching is philosophy. You know, there are preachers out there all over the place that would not dare preach like what I'm preaching this morning. They would not dare do it. Now listen, it's a comfort when I hear of some preacher that is still preaching on standards and convictions. And folks, so you know, if you separated, somebody else that is separated would be encouraged. You would be reinforcing their obedience, if you will. This sounds a little bit greedy, but I'm going to say it. I'd like for some of you to separate because it would encourage me too. Now, whether you separate or not, I'll keep on going for God. I was doing it before I met you. By God's grace, I'll be doing it after we go on our separate way. But I could use the encouragement of knowing some people are going to step up and help us to take our church to the next level where God wants it to be. I think America needs to see churches that are old-time religion that are still growing. So everybody doesn't have to go the way of all the liberal television churches and everything. That you can still have the old-time religion. You can still be King James Bible. You can still have standards. You can still run buses. You can still do the old-time way. And you don't have to dip your sails. And you don't have to become like all the television people and let everything that God's believed about purity go to build a church. And if you have to give up the old time religion to build a church, I don't want to build one. But the only thing is, we don't have to give it up. We can keep going forward and keep our senses intact about separation from the world. Do it for Jesus. Do it for those that you ought to influence. Here's what I think. And some of you don't think this way. There are people under the sound of my voice, if you would separate, I picture boys and girls and teenagers that need your influence and they need their life change, but you are so caught up on you and what you want and what makes you comfortable, you won't separate. But I believe dozens, hundreds, maybe even thousands of people won't get influenced by you because your life's all about you. Think of the people you could help. And the lives that you could change. So do it for those that you would, could, and may influence. Hey, do it for the Holy Spirit. Please Him. Hey, do it for yourself. I'm going to make you, I believe this, and everybody else would have to testify for themselves. Other than salvation, the greatest thing that ever salvaged the rest of my life is separation from the world. God saved me. That changed my eternity. God helped me to separate. That changed my now. I'm still married because of separation. I'm still sane because of separation. I'm not in jail because of separation. I'm not high because of separation. I'm still morally clean because of separation. I'm still halfway decent person because of separation. I still have somewhat of a reputation. Why? Because of separation. Because separation's good for you. Everybody else would have to testify for themselves, but the best thing I ever did was start separating from the world because it's been good for me. My mom says she's proud of me and means it because of separation. My dad says he thinks I'm the greatest preacher on the face of the earth because of separation. My kids respect me because of separation. My friends, they have an element of confidence in me. It's not because of me, because of separation. My church is not like all the others. And I'm not trying to be vain about that. You say, what makes us different? I'd say separation. I'd say separation. I call the sermon, Separation's Influence on Others. I wish you would realize, if you'll separate, you'll influence others. You'll influence your pastor, your wife, your kids, your grandkids, the lost, futuristic people that ought to be influenced by you. I believe with my whole heart, there are probably 25 people sitting in this auditorium that could be Sunday school teachers someday. And the only thing that will keep you from doing it is you won't separate from the world. And if you won't separate, I can't use you. And that's not my doing. You say, well, if you weren't so bullheaded, I just serve a bullheaded boss. Well, two of them. But my God's not changing either. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. If you're a born-again Christian, I wish that you would consider separation. If you're here today and you've never been saved, all the separation in the world won't do you a lot of good until you get born again. And being born again will empower you to separate. It will help you to move away from the things that you should move away from. So if you're not saved, I recommend salvation to you. If you're saved, I recommend separation to you. Separate. It's good for others. It's good for you.